tell me about the presentation coming up. You're going to be talking about listening to your dog?
Well, understanding what your dog's saying. I mean, by just watching their body language and things like that. Because dogs read off of us, actually. It's really the other way around. But then you need to know what your dog's saying.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, like stress in a dog. A lot of times people think it's cute when the dog lifts its leg. And really, a lot of times that's a sign that it's stressed, that it's confused, doesn't know what it needs.
Or you mean like giving you the paw?
Yeah, yeah. It's not necessarily a trained behavior. This picks up its leg and people think, oh, isn't that cute? And really, that's a sign to me that the dog's a little stressed. Yawning, and people think the dog's bored when really the dog is stressed and they're trying to calm themselves down or calm you down. Excessive scratching. All those are signs of stress that people misunderstand. And they think the dog is doing something else.
Tell me about your business. What do you train dogs?
We do training for, we do group classes. We do puppy classes, which are really one of my favorite things because I like to get owners and puppies early on.
Is it easier to train a puppy than an,
it's easier
like
to
say,
get
old dog new tricks?
It's easier to get the owner sooner because then they make less mistakes with their dogs.
What do you think?
Puppies.
What do you think is one of the most common mistakes that people make when they're trying to train a puppy or a dog in general? There's probably a few of them.
They talk too much. They constantly throw out a bunch of commands and think the dog's going to understand them, and it's like very complicated. And the dog doesn't understand English. It doesn't understand Spanish or German. You know, it's a simple language that we have to calm down, slow down, and let our dogs learn. They learn more by watching us. If you lift your hand up, a lot of times the dog would sit if you just wait a second. If you didn't say anything and you bring your hand up, the dog's more likely going to sit.
What about food as a reward?
Oh, yes. Food. Food is the ultimate reward in my mind for dogs, but basically there's three other simple ways to reinforce a dog's behavior. Looking at them, touching them, and talking to them. And people really get that mixed up fast. Because if the dog jumps, they go, no, get down, stay off. They look at them, they touch them, and they're talking to them.
So it's a reward in itself.
Big time. The only thing they didn't give it was a cookie, you know.
So what do you do when you're, if you have a dog that jumps, what would you do instead?
I ignore them. I try to do nothing different, actually. I try to just look away and not move or turn. You know, a lot of times people... We tell people to turn away. It depends, of course, on the circumstances. You can't turn away from a Great Dane. You know, it's pretty hard, especially if it's full grown. But I try to do nothing until the dog settles down and they give me a rewardable moment. In other words, their feet are on the floor, they're not jumping. Then I can give them some attention because that's what I want to give attention to, is what I like instead of what I don't like.
Do you train service dogs as well?
No, but we are working on a program right now that's really important to us. It's called the Circle of Change. It's for veterans with PTSD. So we're bringing in a group of veterans that are approved through our hospital up in Madison, Wisconsin for they've been screened and everything, so it's safe enough for everybody to have these classes, and it's just a 13-week program where they get to sit in and work with dogs and listen and watch, and it's just a nice, safe environment. Plus, the way we train is based on positive reinforcement, so we're not punished, you know, we don't go around choking and jerking and hollering at the dogs to get them to do things. It just provides a nice, safe environment for the veterans to hang out and participate if they want to, and it seems to have quite a bit of success. They're hoping to take the program nationwide at some point. There's other programs out there already, but that's one of the ones that I really appreciate doing right now. Otherwise, our classes are based for training for everyday life. Well, I do have to put in a plug here. I visited your dog park.
Oh, right, the little small dog park.
Oh, it was awesome. We were fortunate to have several dogs there when we popped in, and they were playing, and it was really... I'm not a big dog park fan, and this could change me because it's laid out perfectly. It's got a nice area to get into so you can take your dog off leash before you let him go. And it's very tidy. It's got so many natural things for the dog to do. There's a nice walking path. There's places for people to sit. It's probably the best little dog park I've ever seen. And we had a lot of fun there. And people were doing a really nice job of making sure if a dog got a little stressed or something to pick it up and interrupt. We have dog parks back home I'm not real thrilled with because a lot of people think, you know, the dogs can just work it out. I don't think we do that with kids on the playground. You know, who do you want your kid on the bottom? They'll work it out. He'll be all right. So it was really nice. And I think if they could promote a little more education with the use of the dog park, if people want to know more and understand more, that would be a great use of a dog park. And it's just a sweet park.